Word and receive his gifts today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, as we heard in the prelude, "The day is surely drawing near," 508. 508. Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of matins. That's on page 219 and following. Page 219 and following, we have a worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, you teach us that this world as we know it, the heaven and the earth, will pass away. We hear it, we know it, sometimes we believe it, sometimes we cling too tightly to the things of this world, that the last thing that we want to happen is for our idols to pass away. Heavenly Father, teach us today to set our hearts and our minds at ease with you, to cling to you and to your word, and to trust in you. For the day is surely drawing nigh, and it is a day that we can look forward to with joy and anticipation. Heavenly Father, bless us to that end as we gather, worship, and pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 508.
Thank you. begins on page 219. Page 219.
Please stand.
Please stand. O Lord, open my make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to deliver me, O Lord.
Glory
be to the Lord, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship Him. O God, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
We sing together their introit as printed on your bulletin insert.
Come to Zion with singing. Everybody.
Please be seated for our office hymn, number 516, Wake, Awake, For Night Is Flying, number 516. The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the church year is from Isaiah chapter 65. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be the offspring and the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual on your insert.
In many colored robes, the king's daughter is led to the king, with her virgin companions following behind her. With the joy and gladness they are led along, as they enter the house of the king.
The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. For those who get drunk, are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, have compassion on your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, have compassion on your house.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the last Sunday in the church year, the epistle reading. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 11, especially these words. "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you." Dear friends in Christ, concerning the times, what time is it? What are the times in which we live in? Well, if you turn on the TV or the radio or go to a movie, or do anything on the internet, you will know that we are living in the last times. We are living in the end times. The end of the world is coming. You better shape up. The end of the world is coming. We've only got 20 years left. I mean, we've only got 12 years left. I mean, we've only got 8 years left. The end of the world is at hand. You know what I'm talking about, right? When I was a kid, it was global cooling. And about 15 years ago, it was global warming. Well, since we can't make up our mind, we have this all-encompassing phrase called climate change. And because we have climate change, the end of the world is coming. And it's up to you to stop it. It's up to you and what you do and what you think and what you say, and especially how you vote and donate, in order to push that doomsday clock a minute or an hour or a year later. Now, I'm not sure when it dawned on me, but it was fairly recently. The light came on in my brain. I'll admit, some of these things, I'm a little slow. Maybe this revelation happened for you a long time ago, but it just happened for me. My friends, climate change is a religion. This is not science, although it includes some science. Climate change is a religion. You turn on the TV or you go to a movie and you have would-be evangelists preaching their message, their gospel to you. Greta Thunberg lectures you. How dare you? How dare you keep your thermostat a little bit warmer in the wintertime or a little bit cooler in the summertime? How dare you drive a gas-guzzling vehicle? How dare you not be aware of your carbon footprint? My friends, the gospel message that these climate change preachers preach is that the end of the world is coming. Change is coming. Whether you like it or not, whether you realize it or not, it is coming. It's just a matter of when and how soon. Have you ever heard of Climate Gate? It's not up there with Watergate. Do a little Google search. We just had the 10-year anniversary of Climate Gate. Scientists uncovered a massive plot that all of this climate change stuff were based on faulty and skewed statistics. Doesn't change the message of the preachers, though, does it? Doesn't matter whether you're a Hollywood actor, Hollywood star, or a political candidate. The message from the climate change religion is always the same. Repent. Repent. You repent and believe the good news of climate change. You repent and join the right political party or vote the right way or make a big donation. Repent. Change your evil ways. These fire and brimstone preachers want to scare you into submission by preaching that the end of the world, that the sky is falling, or the oceans are rising. The message is always the same. Repent and believe that you can save the planet. What's the real problem? Well, it depends upon the different denomination of the climate change religion that you follow. The problem, overarchingly, is people. You're the problem. And there are some that would say the only way to solve this problem is to get rid of people. We have too many. And so they worship at their altar of climate change and celebrate their high and holy sacrament of abortion. Too many people. Let's keep the numbers down. Neuter your dogs, spay your cats, abort your children. Save the planet. My friends, you know it's true. You hear it all the time. Maybe that light bulb didn't come off in your head until right now. Maybe it's been on for a long time. Climate change is a religion. And you know, there's a lot of truth with many of the things that are said. It's not a bad thing to recycle your newspapers. It's not a bad thing to monitor your gas mileage. It's not a bad thing to adjust your thermostat. It's not. But when these things become your God, then, we have a problem. There's a big fancy church word that maybe some of you are aware of. It's called eschatology. And eschatology is the study of the end times. Eschatology, The study of last things. What climate change has done is they have taken eschatology, because there is a real study and a real science or religion of the end times, and they've given us eschatology without redemption, eschatology without Jesus, eschatology without hope. God's word will not allow that to happen to you. God's word will not allow you to be driven to despair by these would-be preachers. God's word wants you to have hope, true hope, not some pie-in-the-sky hope, but a real hope. God's word will not sugarcoat anything. The end of the world is coming. The end of the world is coming. There is a limit to the number of days. God knows it. God's in control of it. God has told us, and He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be awake. He wants us to be sober, not drunk with the latest scientific or political fad, not sleeping to the Word of God, which teaches us what will happen on the last day. God's Word is clear. It's not that you need to be told all over again, Paul says sarcastically to the 1 Corinthians people or 1 Thessalonians people. These folks were so mixed up on the last day, many of them had quit their job and were sitting around waiting for Jesus to show up. Jesus says, "You are children of the light, not of the darkness. You are children of the light. So walk in the light." What light is he talking about? Jesus says, "I am the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome." The light of Jesus lightens us with the light of his truth, his word that he has given us. God sent Jesus into the world. Verse 9, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." God saw our miserable plight. He saw how we had ruined His perfect world and His perfect creation. You want to talk about climate change? That's what happened when Adam and Eve brought sin into this world. Genesis chapter 3. The whole world changed. The whole world is groaning in expectation and anticipation of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. God sent His Son into this world to redeem us, to redeem the world, to buy us back. Not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. Jesus took all of our false idols into Him and onto Him as He bled and died the death we deserved. For all of the times we have not cared about God's creation and we have abused God's gifts to us, polluting the air, polluting the water, wasting God's resources that He has given to us. He has taken these sins into Himself. For all of the times when we have worshiped at a false altar, whether that be an altar of climate change or an altar of a political hero, all of these sins Christ has bled and died for. Christ has bled even for our obsession with the slaughter of innocent children and our inability as Christians to open up our mouths and say, enough. 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 My friends, Christ really did come into this world. Christ really took on flesh and blood. Christ really lived a perfect life, fulfilling it for you and me and the whole world. Christ really, body and soul, went to the cross, bleeding and dying on an old rugged cross. Christ really died. Christ really, physically, rose from the dead 3 days later. 40 days after his glorious resurrection, Christ really, physically ascended to the right hand of God. Christ has not left us as orphans. He says, wherever my word is proclaimed in its truth and purity, wherever my gifts, my sacraments are administered according to my command and promise, there I am with you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And Christ says that when the time is right, the bridegroom, Jesus, soon will come. Jesus will return in power and might and glory. The world as we know it, heaven and earth, will pass away. This is not a metaphor. This is not a simile. This is why God does not want us to cling too tightly to the things of this world. The things of this world will be destroyed. God will create a new heaven and a new earth. He doesn't give us this message to scare us. He gives us this message to comfort us, to give us peace. We have nothing to worry about and nothing to fear with regard to the end of the world, because all of us who are in Christ Jesus have forgiveness, life, and salvation. God has prepared a mansion since before He created the world, a mansion for all of His children, where we will live with Him in peace and joy forever. Behold, the prophet Isaiah says, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. My friends, the world would have us be frightened into false belief. Some preachers would have you frightened into false belief. God's word for you today is a word of peace and comfort and joy. Yes, Christ is coming. Yes, Christ wants us to be ready. Yes, the end of the world is at hand. The Hollywood stars and the politicians will say, you can change it. You can fix it. You can stop it. My friends, the end of the world is coming, and there is nothing you can do about it. And there is nothing you need do about it. Cling to the Word of God. Cling to the promises of God. Enjoy all of the first article gifts that God has given you. Be good stewards of your body, of your possessions, of the earth. This is a good and God-pleasing thing. But there's no need to worship it. All that we have and all that we are gifts from God. My friends, don't be afraid. Don't be panicked. The last Sunday of the church year, the first Sundays in Advent, God fixes our eyes on the end of the things that we know and the advent of the things to come. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. You are in Christ's hands, the nail-scarred hands of the Savior. Rejoice. There is no safer place to be in the entire world. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess our faith. This morning we use the words of the Te Deum, page 223. Please stand as you're able. We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord. All the earth now worships you, the Father.
Upon us.
Be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus, who is coming. Coming for each one of us to take us to the mansion prepared since the beginning of time. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. At this time, we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address, so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who loves us and has prepared an eternal home for us would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Thank you.
Our service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church. Middle of page 227, we begin with the Kyrie. We begin with the Kyrie, middle of page 227.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, absolve your people from their offenses, that from the bonds of our sins, which by reason of our frailty we have brought upon ourselves, we may be delivered by your bountiful goodness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, in mercy bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger, and sustain with your spirit our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who experience persecution. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end, we may receive the salvation of our souls. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, bestow your grace on all nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. Bless all who serve in our armed forces, especially we remember Ron, Leo, Kylan, and Paris, that they may serve with integrity and honor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Compassionate Lord, graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Help us to be good stewards of all that you have given us. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Be the God and Father of the lonely and forsaken, the helper of the sick and needy, the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow. Look with mercy upon those who have requested our prayers, including Phyllis, Maureen, Matt, Jack, Norma, John, Sharon, Barb, Deb, Jerry, Karen, the family of Ralph Harper, the family of Roy Cruz, all those who are traveling, those we remember in our hearts, that they may ever cling to Jesus as their sure and certain hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father, as we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 725, Children of the Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask you to check out the Good Shepherd news and notes. All the activities and events listed in the days and weeks ahead are there. Kids know the routine. They're going to get some goodies. We'll be back in here in about 10 or 12 minutes for our Sunday school opening. You're all invited to coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. Two opportunities for Bible study this morning. Pastor Moline is not with us today. Vicar will be taking the Summary of Christian Doctrine class. That's in room 109. Room 109. We'll continue our look at the book of Romans in the fellowship hall. I want to thank all those who worked so hard to put together the special Thanksgiving meal that we had this last Thursday for many of our shut-ins and the older members of our congregation. It's always a great day, great fellowship, great food, opportunity to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper as well. Thank you. Thanks especially to Patty for organizing everything and all the volunteers that helped in a variety of ways. With that being said, we have our celebration of Thanksgiving this coming week. Wednesday, there is no midweek or confirmation class, but we will have church at 6:30. That'll be our Thanksgiving service. Then also be the same service on Thursday morning at 9 a.m. So two opportunities for Thanksgiving worship. I know for sure the Wednesday service will be on the radio. I'm not 100% sure on the Thursday morning one. We'll get it on if we can. Okay. I don't know. I think that's all the announcements. I don't have Pastor to refresh my memory. Please join us for coffee and goodies. We still have a few devotions that will get you through the week. Next Sunday, we start a new church year, first Sunday in Advent. Again, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.